Well, I have all this traffic. Why am I not selling more? Where are all these people? You're telling me I have 20, 30, 40,000 people on my website, but I only got this many opportunities. But there are people that were trying to talk to you, trying to use your technology, and you're throwing obstacles in their way with check availability. Common sense would be, if I hear, I'm gonna find out if this car is here. Nope, here's a form, I'll call you tomorrow. Missed opportunity. We're here at NADA 2024. I'm sitting with my good friend, Glenn Pasch from PCG Digital. We're gonna be talking all about marketing attribution and the things you need to be doing on your website that you can control right now. Stay tuned.
The car business is rapidly changing and modern car dealers are meeting the demand. I'm Michael Cirillo, and together we'll explore the best strategies, ideas, and tools to create a thriving life in and out of the business. This is the Dealer Playbook.
Here we are.
Here we are.
I know we're not freshmen at this whole NADA thing anymore, but
no, I have the sore feet to prove it.
the sore feet and the scars to prove
yes,
it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You had a full room here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always such a great educator.
Thank you.
Especially when it comes to the logic, the common sense approach to marketing. I always appreciate listening to you saying, yeah, there's all these big ideas, but let's talk about the reality of how to implement all those ideas so you can see the outcome. Where did that stem from you? I mean, I've had you on the show a bunch of times, but we've never talked about but how did you arrive at that logical common sense thought process?
Because I, like my brother Brian, loves data.
Yeah.
Loves it. I don't mind data,
right?
But I have to be able to use data. Me, if I'm just looking at something and it has this, well, here's the outcome of the data, and I'm always going, and what do I do with this? And just the way my brain always works, it has to come into being able to do something or communicate it in a way clearly that the person who's listening goes, I understand exactly what you're saying. And sometimes people after the sessions always say, you know, I understood everything you did. I saw another speaker, I was more confused, because I'm trying to get them to say, if you got that data, what do you do? And then the other is just looking for all those opportunities in those stages. You know, I wrote an article on LinkedIn a month or two ago about stop calling it a funnel, and even you were talking about it.
Right.
Was, I don't think we always look at the top and we look at the bottom.
Right.
We get excited down the bottom, but I'm going, what we're not doing is looking at each stage and saying, can we get a few more down?
Yeah.
Instead of, we won't go at all of them down, but there's missed opportunities because we're just focused on the bottom. And so that, my brain works that way.
And how much more efficiently could our dollar travel if we were focused at the other phases of that buying cycle, not just always pouring all of our cash into the bottom where everyone's competing?
Yeah. And so, you know, the session was about that, which was understanding what your responsibility as a dealer. If the OEM's the top, once the second tier of that, you know, opportunity is when they're on your website or third party sites, they're shopping, but they haven't given you your name. And that was something that was easy for dealers to understand, is how I'm sure all of them think to themselves, well, I have all this traffic. Why am I not selling more? Where are all these people? You're telling me I have 20, 30, 40,000 people on my website, but I only got this many opportunities.
Right.
You know, even the website, even if you said, well, the website form leads and chats, if you added everything in, if you had 10%, you'd be happy.
Yeah.
That means 90%. Now, the key is, though, yes, there's some people out of that 90% that are very high up and they're just starting their journey. But there are people in that 90% that were trying to talk to you, trying to use your technology, and you're throwing obstacles in their way with check availability. Common sense would be, if I hear, I'm going to find out if this car is here. Nope, here's a form, I'll call you tomorrow. Missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity.
Right. And then when you track that data and you say, I got 50 leads from my trade-in tool, and you're like, yes. But if I showed you that 400 other people started that and left,
and
wouldn't I want to at least figure out how can I talk to them or interact with them? Because I may not get all 400, but I'm sure as heck going to get more than 50.
Sure.
And so that started, when you break that down to dealers, they go, that makes complete sense, or no one ever said that to me.
Right.
And that's what I was trying to help them. And they all go, all right, now I know what to ask my dealer, you know, my marketing vendor.
One of my favorite questions, actually, I got a text from a partner of ours while at this event, and he said, I didn't find a solution I was looking for yet, but I know I have 1.2 million people in my database that I'm not effectively reaching out to, touching base with, circling back. And I think that that validates your thesis on marketing funnels dead. We're not thinking about this correctly. And to your point, not moving people appropriately through the phases of the buying cycle. I mean, 1.2 million people is a lifetime of opportunity just in and of itself.
So it's, but if you're thinking, if I'm marketing, right, we both have agencies. So the thought is, well, why am I even doing this ad? What's the purpose of this ad? And is it relevant to the person who's going to see it? Or is it just my blast? So there's some waste. Where am I sending them on the website? Is that, so the customer experience is they see, get information on this, but I send them the homepage, and now they're like, I got to figure out where I'm going, versus it's to that page. And it's, well, what when they're on that page, am I watching what they're doing to see, again, so they got moved from ad top to the website. Okay, can we get more to the website? All right, now they're on the website, and they're on this page. I want them to interact with, I need more. Okay, when we interact and I hand them into the sales team, what are they doing? How many did they contact? How many appointments did they set? How many showed up? And then just reverse engineering it to say, okay, you know, appointment to lead ratio, let's say it's 40%. That still means 60% people, I didn't get an appointment. Can we get better? We're not going to get to 100, but could I get to 50? Half of them showed up for their appointment. Well, what are we doing to that other half? Not just we should get them in. Do you have a metric for your team to say, I'm holding you accountable to getting 20% of them back in, and we measure it and hold them accountable because those people already talked to our team and want it. Same thing with sold. How many, what's your metric for your store to say our BBAC? And are we measuring it? Or is it just let's go sell more or we need more leads? That's that opportunity that once you start taking a breath, looking at just one slice of that journey and saying, is it right? Or how can we get better? How are we making it easier for our customers to have more conversations? Because ultimately that's the game. How can I talk to more people? But if every time I promise them, get your e-price, whatever that button is, and I give them a form and you gotta wait, why? Right. You wouldn't do it. I had those little bands. Remember the What Would Jesus Do bands?
Yeah.
I did one that said, what would you do on the lot? So that made the initial there. Because I said, if you, I know,
okay.
I did it.
Yeah.
I said, if you, I challenged the people at the session yesterday. I said, I'm going to ask you a question. I said, I want you to think about this. If you treated your in-store customers the way you treat your online customers, you'd be out of business in 3 months.
Wow.
Because if I come to there and I say, can you tell me about that car? And yours is, well, you got to test drive first, because that's what you're doing on the lead. When are you coming in?
Sure.
No, I want to know if it has a third row. Nope, well, if you got to take a test drive. I can't tell you. Or sit here. We'll be back later. Give me your name. Or, yeah, it's closed. We don't come back tomorrow. Or just sit there. Like, when you put it into that logic, you never do that.
Right.
In person.
It doesn't
but
make
yet
sense
you
in the
do
world.
It.
Yeah.
Online, but everybody, you have so many people online and you're still worried about, yes, still worry about that, but start thinking about how can I treat those customers online, give them the information, move them along, help them on the journey. And once you start looking at that, you just see all of it. It's just not attribution waste. It's just process waste.
Yeah, it's like spending money to promote a show. Maybe you're a performer.
Yeah.
Let's use a insert famous comedian, Jim Gaffigan. It's like Jim Gaffigan, we all see his ads on Facebook that he's coming to Newark, he's coming to Dallas, and he drives all those people to show up in person, but the doors are locked and they have chains on them. And everyone's left going, what? But
you told me you were going to be here.
But you told me you were going to be here and that I was going to have this experience, and now all of a sudden I can't even get in.
Right.
It makes me think of, you know, as you were speaking along those lines, the point of also then I paid to acquire the interest.
Okay, correct.
And then once I have the interest, I'm now no longer concerned about what I do with the interest. So I go back over here and pay for more interest. It just, it doesn't.
Well, you haven't thought that all the way through where you're saying, how can a customer connect with me when they get here? It's moving them all through those different, as I call them, sieves or strainers.
Sure.
And we're moving them all through and really helping them get all the way through and saying, is this really the best way to do it? So if I'm on the website, I'm a serious customer, and I still hear it, not as much as, you know, you and I have been doing this a long time. Years ago, people would say online customers are not serious.
Right.
But again, I challenged the audience yesterday and said, Preppy, because this was an actual conversation I had at a dealership. They said, these online customers, salesmen pulled me aside. He said, they're not serious. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you ever buy anything on Amazon? He goes, absolutely, all the time. I said, okay, have you ever used DoorDash? He goes, absolutely. I said, but if you were really serious, wouldn't you have driven to the store and got it? Or wouldn't you have gone to a restaurant?
Right.
And he goes, well, no, it's easier and I can do this and I don't have to worry about it. I said, so why is that customer expecting something completely different when they look for a car? Why can't they get the information? Why can't it be easy? Again, 10% want to buy the car online. Forget them. 90% of people just want to save time.
Sure.
So if your focus is saving time, then you start going, all right, I don't want to waste their time. And then it goes into all of these pockets of marketing. Well, then I'm not going to give you an ad that's a waste of your time. So if you just leased a car for 36 months, why would I ever send you a tire ad?
Right.
Ever. But yet
right. We
do, because for whatever reasoning of, well, we just have one big blast, or, well, what if they have another car? And I'm going, if I have a Ford and I have a Hyundai, and I'm leasing the Hyundai and you send me tire ads, I'm not thinking I can bring my Ford into the Hyundai and get tires. It's just, so that's when you finally start thinking, I have to save time, and you go from the backwards, you see all these pockets of missed opportunities to move some more people through that funnel,
with
that we call it. But I just say we move more people to have more conversations with your team, and then they can do what they do best, which is sell and service vehicles. But we still haven't quite stopped the I need lead forms, and I need to feel in control.
Hey, before we hop back into this episode of the Dealer Playbook, we got to give a shout out to today's sponsor, AutoFi. AutoFi helps progressive dealers like you sell smarter, not harder, on your dealership website and now in your showroom too. AutoFi solves the everyday problems dealers actually face, like bottlenecks at the sales desk, customer distrust, and decision overload. And their all-new showroom solution includes deal estimation, desking, lender routing, and an F&I menu, all in one powerful platform that bridges the gap between the CRM and DMS. Dealerships with AutoFi can manage the floor more efficiently, fast-track the yes, and make better lending decisions, enabling them to sell cars faster with higher satisfaction and more profit. In fact, deals with AutoFi take an average of 28 minutes from customer check-in to loan approval, and dealers are making $411 more back-end PVR per deal. Go to autofi.com/dealerplaybook to learn more. That's autofi.com/dealerplaybook and start selling smarter today. All right, let's hop back into this episode.
And then we add another layer into this, which is the hype and the buzz of new and emerging technology, which as marketers were partly to blame for the hype.
Oh, we're doing marketers our job. Will go in and screw everything up.
Yeah, yeah. So I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, a lot of the problems that I call out, I'm like, how many of those, though, did marketers, like, how many of these things did we create for ourselves? So now all of a sudden we move into the hype of AI in marketing. And you see the eye roll, right? Because it's now we know, oh, well, there's this other thing. You are what I would position as a grounded marketer. Here are the foundations that haven't even been implemented yet because you were too busy following the hype. Come back down to earth for a minute, because if you just deployed in this priority sequence, you would see the results. You wouldn't even have to worry about
it. Well, yes. So I challenge our clients, and I like to challenge the industry when I'm speaking, is it all has to start with customer experience. What do I want to deliver? How do I want my customers to feel? That's the different word. How do I want them to feel when they're done doing business with me? Then we reverse engineer. Okay, well then what do we have to do to generate those feelings? What action? Can we build them into a process? Then we find people that can do that. Then we train them and do all that. But then we go to the next one, is what technology helps us do this? And just because you're here in this hall and that sounds like it's a great technology, but does it really fit what I need? Or am I just layering technology on to, and now I have a Frankenstein process?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't flow versus that sounds great, but it doesn't fit what we're trying to do.
Sure.
Or if I do choose that, is it replacing something? Is it an add-on for something? So the whole concept of AI is just now a big bucket. Like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, was digital retailing, and that was a big bucket. Now CDPs is a big bucket. Now AI is a big bucket. It's all variants. The only thing I challenge dealers to do is when you're working with either a product that's AI or it's in your CRM, or someone's going to say, hey, our marketing is AI-driven, all this. Are you the pilot or are they the pilot? I want AI to be my co-pilot. I want to leverage the technology to do what I'm doing faster and better, more efficient, but I can't take my eyes off. And if somebody turns around and goes, you don't have to worry about it. Because you can see it in the CRM. I reach out as a salesperson to you as a customer, but then AI comes right on top of it. Maybe a manager does, and you're going, who am I talking to? Three people just reached out
to me. Right.
And then I'm having a conversation with you and setting an appointment or talking to you and giving you information. And the AI didn't read what I'm doing, and they're going, hey, I haven't heard from you. I know you're still looking for information. And the person's going, do these two people even talk to each other? So that's where if you just go, oh, I have something, and let it go without looking at it and saying, can I do this because it's my process? Can I turn AI on and off? Can I start it at a certain time? Is it? Nope. Well, then I don't want that.
Sure.
But to your point is, we can get into the hype of something or marketers or the industry will create this weird buyer's remorse. Like if I'm not involved or the, you know, I don't have it. I should have it. People in my 20 group have it. Or that one person at work. So it's take your time and say, what am I trying to accomplish? Here's my processes. This is my tech stack. Yes, I want to listen to you, but does it fit? Can you work with my tools? Can you do that?
Always mapping it to your defined strategy.
Back. Same thing with your marketing. Does that marketing support the message that I'm delivering? I can market till I'm blue in the face. I can drive traffic to your website. I can tell me your greatest thing since sliced bread, but you're not answering the phone. You're not giving them the information. I'm telling them one thing, but you're not doing it. So everything comes off of that. Your training, the people you hire, your process, everything goes back to that. This is how I want my customers to feel when they leave. And then it's how do I treat you still as an individual after the fact, right? So going back to that 36-month lease, and we're working on this with our clients, and so I tell everybody, do you have a content plan for you as an individual? What am I doing over those 36 months to stay in touch with you? I ain't sending you a tired.
Right.
I'm going to do my anniversary, but today it's not everybody's anniversary or carversary or birthday. So I have the, out of my 1.whatever million, these 50,000 are getting a birthday blast today. And these 50,000 are getting tires. And these 50,000 are getting oil changes. And these 50,000, I'm talking to you about lease pull ahead.
Yeah.
Versus one message to everybody.
Yeah.
We do have that technology. That's what I'm talking about in terms of that is how do we strategically send the right ad at the right time to the right person to keep them in our database, keep them in our family, or move them to somewhere that I want to help them go so that they stay with me, or I'm moving them towards flipping them to a new car or whatever it is.
Sure.
That's really the key. And then it's then taking that same strategy of where am I landing on the website and do I have the technology to see all the pages that you have? And then is the customer record showing me the car, when you were in the last time you were in service, all the pages you were on the website, what marketing campaigns you're, that's the concept of CDP and identity resolution. There's one Mike Cirillo, here's all the stuff he does. And then I push that to the salesperson in the CRM versus
the other
CRM
way, yeah.
comes up because, yep. right? And that's where I see the future coming. But until that happens, there's so many of these little pods that have opportunities that they could gain more opportunities today. Still looking down the road and saying, how can I use this? How can I have a 1.5 million. How can I use technology to do that? But in the meantime, have you figured out how to talk to those 400 people that didn't fill out your form?
Right.
Have you figured out how to get 20% of the people who didn't show up back in your showroom? Have you figured out how to get 20% of the people who didn't buy back in the showroom? Have you figured out how to get 20% more appointments? Whatever it is. That's, to your point, is that's where I focus right now. Say, because if we can do that, we can still talk about marketing. We can still talk about AI. But let's do this because you've already paid for those people to
do
get
something
to your
with them.
Not just the people that I got, because even if I got 100 leads, you know, at the end of the day, I sold 15. Even if you sold 20%,
sure.
even if you sold 30%, you're like, oh my God, we're killing it. There's still 70 people who gave you their names that we couldn't connect with, didn't have the right conversation with, and I paid for them.
Yeah, you already paid for them.
And they talked to my
people. It's like buying a kitchen table you never sit at. There's my little snub at my Italian community, because you know they all have a dining room with a
nobody's allowed to go in.
Nobody's allowed to go in.
No, it has the plastic on the seats.
That's it.
You can't go in there. That's for holidays.
Yeah.
We break out the real china.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can see why I always love sitting down with my friend Glenn Pash at PCG Digital. How can those listening and watching get in touch with you?
Great. Easy. PCGdigital.com is the website. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm easy to find. There's not many of Glenn Pash. You might see Brian, my brother. But yeah, that's the easiest way. And listen to my podcast. You're in charge now. What? Michael's been on multiple times trying to help new managers, empower them to become better leaders, become more confident. That's ours.
Thanks for joining me on the Dealer Playbook.
Love it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Dealer Playbook podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please subscribe, share, and hit that like button. You can also join us and the DPB community on social media. Check back next week for a new Dealer Playbook episode. Thanks so much for joining.